Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank and the 20K Good Business Giveaway. Submit a video explaining how your business does good by October 24th for a chance to win $20,000. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/business contest.
You know, we all get it. You know, we've lost 4 games in a row. Everyone's frustrated. The city's on fire. You know, we all get it. But we have to simply ignore the noise so we can move on, you know, so we can fix it and win, right? If you live in the past, you can't move on with the future. So we have to ignore it, go back to work, and prove that we can win football games.
Last one,
that will stop the noise.
Can we be there?
God, we are here. Don't have to think about the time. It's right here, right now. And Vance Joseph says, oh, when? Well, quiet the noise. The city is on fire. You know, that's an interesting statement. The town is most definitely upset. I don't think there's anything questioning about that statement. They're upset. Broncos country is not happy. But do you think a win will quiet the frustrations around town right now?
Yeah. I mean, a win cures all. Winning football will cure the noise, will cure everything. And the good thing about it is, you know, like they talked about earlier, you only had 4 days, and you get to play again. Then if you get this win, you got an extended bye here. And so you got a little bit more time to feel good about yourself, and hopefully you can get things rolling for the rest of the season. But, yeah, winning a football game and winning tonight would cure a lot. There's no doubt about it.
Talk to me about this physically. To play a football game on Sunday afternoon, I've heard guys say throughout the years, and I'm sure you've heard this more times than you'd care to admit, but you say you don't start feeling normal again until Wednesday or Thursday, and you're not ready to play until Sunday. Is that sort of how you felt as a guy who was in that league for forever?
No, not really. Not for me. Now, you know, those big guys, they're pounding, you know, every play in a football game. I'm playing outside, so, you know, and I'm playing the slot. Some games I don't even get a catch, so I'm just blocking, and I'm not really getting hit. What sore is my legs from just running so much if you're out there running a lot? So I'm not taking the pounding on the outside that those guys are taking, that a running back's taking. So it's a little bit of a different situation for a guy like myself. So I was good to go. I like the Thursday games because the practice leading up to the Sunday games are what, you know, got me sore and tired and worn out. But when you had the Thursday game, you didn't have those extended practices. You had more of walkthrough situations. So for me, I didn't mind Thursday games. It didn't bother me at all.
What about going on the road on Thursday night? I don't know how many times you had to do that in your career, but I'm sure you had to do it a couple times.
I'm trying to think.
When did they bring in the Thursday night games?
No clue. Eight, nine years
ago, maybe? Was it that long ago? Raj, when did they bring in the Thursday night games? It's in the last decade, right? I mean, it's some point like that, but I'm sure you had to do it.
Yeah, you know, I played on Thanksgiving, and so that's on a short week, and that's one of those early games, and we played on the road, so...
2006 is when they started the Thursday night games. Wow, so we're 12 years into Thursday night football.
Okay. Yeah, so I played on the road before. It didn't really bother me. You know, didn't really think about it too much. You knew you were going to get taken care of in practice, and the coach would do so more whenever you had to play on the road in those games. So for me, look, it didn't really matter one way or the other. I liked the Thursday games because I liked having the weekend off and the weekend to recover and the weekend to kind of get away from NFL football. And, you know, it was like another bye to a certain degree.
Sure. Not a bye.
Yes, half a bye. That's really what it was. So I didn't mind Thursday games at all. But obviously for the big guys, the guys that are pounding linebackers, defensive and offensive line, and running backs, it's a lot harder. It's a lot harder to get your body going after playing a Sunday game and then trying to turn back around and playing on a Thursday. And then if you have to travel, you have to fly. So you have to do a really good job of taking care of your body and making sure that you recover as much as possible. And some of it's on your coach and your organization to make sure they're doing the right things for you leading up to the game, which I think the Broncos obviously have done. And
whether that be like massages and things like that.
Well, I don't think a coach is going to want to massage you, but
as long as you can get a knot out, get a knot out, Vance. Hop back there.
It's just, you know, about you know, making sure guys are eating the right things and hydrating and just being a big point of emphasis when it comes to things like that. And obviously, you know, we've been over there and you've seen the facility. It's top notch. So they do a good job of all those things now, and it's come a lot, you know, further along than when Thursday night football first started in 2006.
Right. They'd be like, Stokely, hop in the cold tub. We'll see you on Thursday night.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, you look at this situation, it boils down to getting out there and just executing and being ready to play football. It doesn't matter if it's at home or on the road. You got to find a way to get a win.
Yep, quite simply. And you got to get a win against a team that's won one game. But we've talked about this. Their back's against the wall. They're as desperate as any team in football. Heads are going to roll if they start, you know, 1-6. That's for sure. Mike McCoy may be coaching in his last game. What emotions should Bronco Country be feeling today, Stoke?
Emotions? I mean, they should be excited. I mean, it's a game. You got a game on the road, and you got a good chance to get a victory. You're looking for a victory. You're looking for a W, and you're looking to get the season back on track. And, I mean, this is ideal as any. I mean, you would like to be at home playing in front of your home crowd, but you're not. But you're playing a bad football team. And if you want to be a good football team, you got to go out there and win these games. That's just plain and simple. And you haven't given yourself any luxury of going out there and not playing a good game and getting an L. You just haven't given yourself that luxury this year by starting 2-4. You got to find a way to go out there and get a W. You're not playing a good football team. Arizona's a bad football team. You're a lot better than them. You got to go out there and find a way to get a W and get a win and get this season back on track. And if you don't, look, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, how can we expect you to win any other games? I just can't. So this is your best opportunity to get things back going. And if you get this win, it could do wonders for the rest of the season.
Yeah, a little jump start, a little reboot, a little reset. You hit that reset button possibly with a win tonight. And in terms of being on the road, yes, you're going to have to travel to be there. You're not going to sleep in your own bed last night. But in terms of a home crowd presence, the Cardinals, when they're down, you just don't feel it. You know, like the Broncos could be, you know, 2-4, and if the game was here in Denver, it wouldn't feel like a ho-hum environment. You would feel you're in Broncos country. That's not been the case throughout the years in Arizona. It's sort of a fair-weather fan base. I'm expecting, I'll call it 30% to 40% of that crowd to be Broncos fans tonight, believe it or not.
Yeah, they got a great presence down there, Broncos country does. So they'll be felt, you know, just like when we used to go to San Diego. Always had a great contingent of Broncos fans in that stadium, which was awesome. So in Arizona is the same way. They'll have a lot of Broncos fans there. Give them something to cheer about. Take Arizona out of the game early and their fans. You know they're ready to start booing them. So give them a reason to boo and give your fans a reason to cheer. You need to get out. You need to start fast. And there's no reason that this football team shouldn't just go down there and take care of business. There's just no reason. There isn't. And if you don't, look, then everybody should be put on notice. And obviously we talked about a lot of things I think should happen and will happen.
Yeah, there'll be a big shakeup if you walk out of Arizona with a loss. And by the way, you know, to the point we're talking about the crowd, D-Mac said it has been packed with Broncos fans everywhere. Packed. So maybe it'll be closer to 40 to 50%. And by the way, when we talk about Thursday Night Football, 2006, you know who played the first ever Thursday Night Football game? The Denver Broncos against the Kansas City Chiefs in the 2006 season. So maybe there's some good mojo.
Was the Thursday night game the glove game with Brandon Marshall against the Cleveland Browns? Okay. I don't know if I've ever lost a Thursday game.
Okay, so even better mojo. Even better mojo.
Well, I played a couple Thanksgiving Day games. Does that count?
That counts.
Okay.
Thursday night game.
Three tutties in one.
Oh, look at you! Use the tutties! I converted them! Did you hear that? He said tutties. Now I have full reign. Let's go. All right, Stoke, we are live down here at the Sports Column in Lodo.
Wanted to make you feel good.
Thanks to Coors Light. Cannot wait for Broncos-Cardinals tonight. What are we expecting from Josh Rosen later this evening? I want to hear your answer next.
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a 2-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 and a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank. Business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/businesscontest for more details.
We are live down here at the Sports Column in Lodo, thanks to Coors Light. Shout out to those guys. Stoke, what are we expecting from Josh Rosen tonight?
Well, I think when you look at Josh Rosen, obviously a rookie quarterback, saw some of his issues and his struggles last week against Minnesota. Mike Zimmer did a great job of disguising blitzes, bringing things at him that he wasn't able to recognize and react to quick enough. And so, you know, he looked uncomfortable in some situations and confused. And in others, he looked like a first-round quarterback. Like, he looked like a guy that has a chance to be a really good quarterback in this league. So what will Joe Woods and Vance Joseph have dialed up? So I think a lot goes on the Denver Broncos, and defensively, what are they going to be doing? I think you've got to pressure. I think you've got to have 8 men in the box. You've got to disguise. You've got to bring blitzes. It looks like you're coming from the right. All of a sudden, you bring it from the left. And if you have ESPN Plus, I think it's out today, Peyton does a good job of breaking down Josh Rosen in some of those situations last week against the Minnesota Vikings. So it's good stuff. But Josh Rosen is a rookie quarterback. And I think it comes down to the Denver Broncos and their defensive game plan and trying to disguise, trying to confuse Josh Rosen, make him look like a rookie quarterback. If you let him sit in the pocket, this guy can flat spin the football. I mean, he can throw that thing. So defensively, they're going to have to do a good job of getting after him and pressuring him.
You know, Josh Rosen has sort of to a certain degree, and granted, we're not even halfway through his rookie season yet, but to an extent has altered the narrative around him. And it wasn't just you who had real speculation going into the 2018 NFL draft saying that, look, you know what, there's something about this guy. You know, some folks said, I can't put my finger on it, but I don't like his arrogance. I don't like his disposition. You had said, you heard it from people that you trust, that he wasn't all there from what you expect from a franchise quarterback. You've started to not backpedal, but maybe just revise how you view Josh Rosen?
No, I don't know. I'm not in that locker room. So we'll let time play out and see who Josh Rosen really is. You know, who is he? Is he the guy that you heard about at UCLA with no issues off the field, but in the locker room? You know, are you a team guy? Are you going to be there? Are you going to, you know, take your line out and get steak dinner and be that type of guy and be that leader in the locker room? Are you an I guy, and that's all you care about is yourself? So we'll see how it plays out for Josh Rosen. I'm still not backtracking on there, but on those comments and what I thought about him leading up to the draft. But I will tell you this, the guy can throw the football. And I never said that he couldn't throw the football. I'm just concerned when you're drafting a quarterback in the first round, I want that quarterback to check off all the boxes. And a big part of that is, what kind of guy are you in the locker room? What kind of leader are you? And are you a me guy? Are you a team guy? Are you an I guy? I mean, what kind of guy are you really? So time will play out. We'll see what Josh Rosen turns out to be. But look, I mean, there's no denying the guy can flat out throw the football.
When you talk about the defensive approach tonight, you were referencing what Mike Zimmer did a week ago with the Vikings in that 27-17 victory. When we talk about what to throw at Rosen and this Cardinals offense tonight, which really hasn't been very good, you have been gashed by the running game in consecutive weeks. Gashed like no one else in the history of the sport, in fact. Since that's the case, and it is a rookie running back, and they have a guy like David Johnson running the football, do you sell out for the run the way you haven't in the last couple weeks and leave it up to the rookie quarterback to try to beat you?
Absolutely. But I thought against the New York Jets you would do the same thing. Didn't you? Don't you?
Good point.
I mean, you're facing Sam Darnold, a rookie quarterback. You're not really you're going to take your chances with him beating you through the air. Who are their wide receivers? I mean, Anunwa, he's a good weapon for him. Quincy
Anunwa. Yep.
Anunwa.
Quincy Anunwa.
Okay. Yep. That guy. And Terrell Pryor. I mean,
yeah.
Look, I mean that Quincy guy, he's a good player.
He is
a good receiver, but I'll take my chances with him throwing the football and pressuring him. And obviously the Broncos didn't do a good job there against that rookie quarterback and stopping the run and pressuring him. So I look at this week. Yeah, I'm putting 8 in the box. I'm coming after him. And hey, secondary, earn your pay this week. Okay. Earn your keep this week because you're going to be a lot of one-on-one matchups. And I think that's the way you have to approach this game. You have to stop their run. You have to stop David Johnson. They've looked at the film the last couple weeks. They know your struggles against the run, so they're going to test it throughout the game, of course, with David Johnson. But at the same time, if you're the Broncos, you have to realize that. You have to put 8 in the box. You have to whatever the count is, you have to have one more than them. And so you have to come after Josh Rosen. You have to make him uncomfortable. So we'll see. We'll see if they can do a better job of it than they did against the New York Jets.
And when you talk about this Cardinals offense, here's the bottom line. I don't want to boil it down too simplistically because they're an NFL team with millionaires who need to perform and step up or they'll lose their jobs. But the bottom line is, if this Broncos defense can't stop this Cardinals offense, then we're in big trouble. Then all the conversations that we have about this team, it almost becomes a moot point and it becomes a look to the future. Because if you can't stop the Cardinals offense, who this is the Cardinals offensive production here since the season started. 6 points in week one, 0 points in week two, 14 points in week three, 17 points in week four. They put 28 on the Niners on the road, which was an impressive 28-18 win. But then they follow that up with 17 points. So you're talking about not scoring more than 17, well, scoring more than 17 points just once in 6 football games. So I know the Broncos have had their woes, but the Cardinals have scored more than 17 points just one time. So if the Broncos allegedly still have bones from that Super Bowl 50 defense, if this is supposed to be the backbone of this team, you should go out and impose your will really for the first time this season.
Yeah, you're right. Spot on. I mean, that's what you got to do in this game. Defensively, you got to go out there and flat dominate this football game. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. No excuses. This is a team that you should go and you should steamroll. You know, if they get double digits, you should be ashamed. I mean, that's just who you're facing. Their offensive line's not very good. Josh Rosen, look, he's capable, but at the same time, he's a rookie quarterback.
Right.
And you ought to be in his face constantly. I mean, Derek Carr last week against the Seattle Seahawks, I mean, Seattle was in that backfield every single play, it seemed like. That's what it should look like tonight from the Denver Broncos. It's time to get that mojo back. It's time to figure out a way to stop the run. First, you got to stop the run. If you don't do that, you're not going to be able to pressure him. You're not going to be able to pressure Josh Rosen if you're not able to stop the run. So you're going to have to stop the run, and if you're able to do that, you should dominate.
D-Mac had to get shamed yesterday. And
oh, I missed it.
What a fun target D-Mac is.
Oh, I mean, there's so much ammunition.
So much material
he texted me this morning.
What did he say?
He rubbed it in my face. He said, in your face, !, above and beyond number 3.
So D-Mac got an above and beyond?
Yeah.
What did D-Mac do to get an above and beyond?
Who knows? He showed up one day, you know, and put in a couple hours. So he's rubbing it in my face.
So that's apparently it was all the extra Rocky stuff that D-Mac did.
Okay.
Good
for you, bud.
Good for you, bud.
So I'm glad he's getting shamed.
All right. So this is how yesterday went when our own Darren McKee, me, D-Mac, got his face rubbed in it. This is what it sounded like.
Hey, this is Nancy in Lone Tree. I won King Super's fan football pick'em this week.
Good for
D-Mac,
you. All right.
Repeat after me.
Okay.
After seeing Bradley Chubb last week, I think we made the right choice.
Oh, my.
The Broncos were right to pick Bradley Chubb.
Oh, my God.
That's a good one.
Nancy, you're killing me, Nancy.
I'm just going to live. going to live forever.
C-Mac, repeat after me.
I heard you, Nancy.
After seeing Bradley Chubb,
all right,
last week,
I
think we made the right choice.
After seeing Bradley Chubb last week, I think we made the right choice.
The Broncos were right to pick Bradley Chubb.
The Broncos were right to pick Bradley Chubb. I didn't mean any of that.
Yeah,
that's the way the shame game works. You are forced to say things you absolutely don't believe in.
Oh, that is too good. I just love to see him squirm. It just gives us all great pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
And this is what's great about the King Supers Fan Football Pick'em. And, guys, here's the thing. If you haven't participated at all this year, you can still win any week, $250 worth of groceries. We can't forget that. So log on to 1043thefan.com, make your pick'em. Stokely and I have put together a Golden State Warriors type of run here after winning it in 17, week 1, week 3, week 4, week 5, week 6. Will we make it 7? You can check out our picks at 1043thefan.com. Stoke, are we looking at the loneliest man in the NFL? Who is the loneliest man in the NFL? We'll tell you next. The loneliest man in the NFL. Well done, Steven. The Broncos president, Joe Ellis, said to Lindsey Jones of The Athletic on making an in-season coaching change, quote, "We did it in 2010, I think. So we'll see. I'm trying to stay focused on one game at a time and see where we go from there. And having conversations with John and see where we go," end quote.
Whoa.
Wow, not a ringing endorsement,
where's
to say
that,
the
where's
least.
Where's that vote of confidence?
Where is that vote of confidence? And if you're Vance Joseph, how do you take a quote like that? No one has really stepped up. Von Miller hasn't stepped up and said, hey, coach, we need to play better. Vance is our guy. Joe Ellis didn't say, Vance Joseph is the head coach of the Broncos. We believe in him. We got to get a win on Thursday night. It's, we'll see. We'll see. Trying to stay focused one game at a time and see where we go from there, and having conversations with John and see where we go, end quote. That's why I call Vance Joseph the loneliest man in the NFL, because it seems like the writing's on the wall for him. He's not going to be coaching week one 2019 on the Denver Broncos sideline. That's how it feels, unless something radical happens here. And it just sort of seems like, to a certain degree, that he's just being held out there.
Yeah, people are kind of distancing themselves from Vance. You haven't heard John come out or when he's spoken say, you know what, I got to draft better. We got to put better pieces for this guy, and we still believe you. You haven't heard any of that, that ringing endorsement or vote of confidence from anybody in management from the Denver Broncos when it comes to Vance Joseph. So that lets me know that, time is running short for Vance. And if you don't get a win tonight, then that is probably a wrap. So, obviously, when you hear that from Joe, it's a situation to where, he's saying, we did it. We did it in 2010. And he's not saying they're going to do it this year, but he's saying, we'll see. We're taking one game at a time. I hear that, and it says, they better win some football games, and they better win them quickly.
Yep, win them quickly, or you're gone. In fact,
would you like to see a vote of confidence? I mean, does it matter if we did hear a vote of confidence? Because the old saying, when you do hear the vote of confidence, that's when they usually get fired quickly.
Right.
So does it matter? Does it really matter situation?
No. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The lack of vote of confidence, and follow me here on this, the lack of vote of confidence is about as important as Von Miller saying that we're going to go kick their ass. It doesn't matter at all. It's fun to talk about, but you actually need to go do it. We need to see it. It's about substance. This is the NFL. You win or you lose, and pretty much everything else can get lost in translation. So, no, it doesn't. But when I don't hear it, and I do see people distance themselves from them, it just makes it that much more obvious of the landscape of Vance Joseph as the Broncos coach.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that you need to give him a vote of confidence. I don't think that Joe or John need to come out and say that. But why? What is that going to do? It's only going to put you back into a corner if you do have to fire him. So, look, Vance knows what's at stake.
Yeah.
He doesn't need a vote of confidence to make him feel better about his situation. I mean, he talked about it this week. He said, we got to win football games. I'm fighting for my job every single week.
Sure.
And that's the right approach. That's what you want. He's not looking, you know, too far ahead or too far behind. It's week by week. You're trying to do your best, and a vote of confidence wouldn't change that, or a, you know, a win now wouldn't change anything. So I really don't mind that it's nobody's come out and said we need to give this guy a vote of confidence. We need to make him feel like he's going to be here for the rest of the year and not having to worry about being fired. I don't mind it at all. Vance knows what's at stake. These coaches know what's at stake. These players know what's at stake. So I don't think anything that management could say or would say would help this situation right now. It's not going to help Vance. It's not going to help this coaching staff, and it's not going to help the players.
Right. The only thing that's going to help is go out and win the football game.
That's it.
It's so one-dimensional. It really is. It is so one-dimensional. Go win.
And this is a team that you got to beat.
Sure.
You should beat.
Sure.
I mean, that's it. So it's not like you're facing the Kansas City Chiefs on the road on a short week. You know, that's not the case. You're facing a bad Arizona Cardinals football team. You got to win this game. And if you don't win it, people should be fired. Right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's just the way it should be.
This is how it goes. This is the score. This is the breaks of the league, right? The upside is you get a whole bunch of fame, attention, and millions of dollars. Downside is you're a losing streak away from being canned.
That's right.
And this is on the heels of a 5-11 season. So this isn't any newsflash to anyone. Not Vance, not his family, not nobody. This is what it is. And, you know, we're having this conversation, and I'm trying to think of any endorsement to Vance. I mean, from a player, from one of the coordinators. I mean, truly, I haven't really heard anything. And you know what? One of the reasons.
Should they? I mean, should players come out and back their coach? I mean, look, I don't think they need to. I don't think they should. I don't think that's their job. I mean,
no.
But maybe somebody in management. But I don't think it would matter. And players, look. That's not their job to come out and say, you know, we got to play better. It's not the coach's fault.
No, it's not. And I'm not saying it need to be said. I'm just sort of pointing it out that, you know, to this whole conversation of Vance sort of on an island here. That's just what it feels like. He is on an island. And you know what? You're right in everything that you just said. No one needs to. This is big boy stuff here, right? No one needs a pat on the back or a go get him this week. We believe in you. But I think the tone around Vance Joseph was set a year ago when John Elway said he had to sleep on it. When you publicly say you're that close to firing someone, which in a roundabout way, that's exactly what you're saying, you do set a tone moving forward. And that's why I believe that it was important for Mike Malone to get his extension before the season started. Because you lose three or four games in a row and you start rolling your eyes and the heavy hitters on that basketball team can turn on you because the end is in sight for you. When John Elway said, I have to sleep on Vance Joseph retaining his job, you are essentially saying, boy, you got a dead end in front of you. Unless you bulldoze it through, you got a dead end in front of you.
You're already starting on the hot seat this year.
Right.
When you make that type of statement at the end of last year. And everybody knew what was at stake this year going into this season, knew that Vance was a long losing streak away from being fired. We all understood that. He certainly understood that in this situation. I think he embraced it. I like his approach this whole offseason and into the season. It just hasn't translated to wins, and that's the bottom line. It has got to translate into wins, or people will get fired, and people will get replaced, and starters will be benched, and other people will replace them. So that's the nature of the game. So, yeah. What other scenario would you want in this situation if you're Vance? Where else would you like to go play on the road on a short week?
There's no one else on the schedule moving forward.
That's it.
And I'm not sure there's anyone else on the schedule before or behind you that would be a better get-right game. And that's why, look, if you lose tonight, it's going to put a magnifying glass nationally over the Denver Broncos. Because, you know, the national sentiment is always late catching up to what it is locally. Because we're here. We watch every single play. We talk about it every single day. But I'll tell you what. I don't know if John Elway.
That's why I had to put Matt Hasselbeck in check.
I saw that.
Slow your roll. Slow your roll. I watch every second of every game here, buddy.
I saw
don't
that.
Don't try to chime in. Don't try to chime in from Bristol. You know when you're just catching bits and pieces of these games.
Right. So, and if you don't know the frame of reference for this Twitter back and forth, and you can always follow us on Twitter. Stoke is at bstokely14. I am at Buys Line just posted a really cute picture of my son, a little NWO onesie.
Little wrestling onesie. Little New World
Order. Yeah, check us out. But you last Sunday during the game, basically a sentiment along the lines of, like, look, Case Keenum isn't playing well enough at all. We need to look at exploring other options, to which Matt Hasselbeck responded to you and said, you're hanging with a Super Bowl favorite type of deal. Relax.
Yeah.
And you said, I will not relax. I watch every single play. I know exactly what I'm looking at. I'm not watching the highlights. Don't tell me how to feel.
That's right. But you know what? I we kind of looked at the schedule yesterday, and I brought it up to you yesterday. If you can go get this win, okay? And I'm trying to look at the whole schedule and look at where they're playing these games, and is it realistic to break this streak? To break this streak or to keep this streak going of not having more losing seasons than Super Bowl appearances, right? Which is an awesome streak. Want to keep that thing going. It's awesome to say. I love saying it. It's just one of the coolest statements that you can make in professional sports. If you go get this win, okay, 3-4. All right, I'm not being crazy with my predictions here. The Chiefs, 3-5. You're going to lose that game on the road. You're playing the Houston Texans at home. Okay, you should win that football game. You should. I've seen you play two games at home against the Rams and against the Chiefs at home. And you could, and those are really the two of the top three or four best teams in the NFL, and you could have won both of those games. So you get the Texans win. That puts you at four wins. You have the Chargers on the road. You lose that game. You have the Steelers at home. You win that game, okay? Five. Make sure my math is going right. You play the Bengals on the road, I'll give us a loss there. Then you got the 49ers, that's six wins. You got the Browns at home, that's seven wins. You got the Raiders on the road, that is eight wins. So this season is still very salvageable. I'm not even counting the last game of the season, who you got the Chargers at home. Who knows what they're going to look like? Who knows if they're going to, you made a great point yesterday, who knows if they're going to be playing for anything? They might have a playoff spot locked up. And they want to keep guys healthy. So I'm looking at this schedule. I'm still realistically, you know, it feels like a dumpster fire right now, but there's still a lot of football to play, be played. Obviously, this team has got to start playing better, or they can't win any of these games.
Right, and it
starts tonight, though. It starts tonight. If you find a way to get this win, get your confidence up. Now the rest of the season looks manageable. Like, we can upset some teams. Why can't we upset some teams? I mean, the New York Giants upset us last year. Why can't we upset some teams and win some games that we you know, maybe we're not favored in?
Sure.
This team can do that. There's a lot of talent on there, and hopefully the offense starts picking it up a little bit and getting comfortable with the system, and Case Keenum looks more like he did last year and the guy that we were hoping to see this whole year. And why can't they get to 8 or 9 wins? It's a realistic possibility, isn't it? Am I talking crazy?
No, you're not. Because Good. Here's what we got to remember. Here's what we got to remember. Teams change. Teams don't stay the same. And I know no one wants to hear this, but you don't want to be playing your best ball in October. You don't, or September. You want to be playing your best ball in December. Now, you got to put yourself in a position to be relevant when that time comes, if you do reach that stride that we're looking for. So you got to win games in the meantime. But look at the Chargers. Look at the way that the Chargers started last year. Look at the way they finished. Look at the way the San Francisco 49ers started last year. Look at the way they finished. Yep. But both of those cases, they didn't win enough games when they were struggling to make those wins down the stretch relevant. Let me give you a recent example. This season, Houston Texans. Houston Texans, week one, loss. Week two, loss. Week three, loss. You can't tell me sports talk radio in Houston, looking at an 0-3 start, is reexamining everything. Your playoff chances are down to about 1% when you start 0-3. But then you go win week four. And look at, they won week five, and the next thing you know, they won week six, you're 3-3. That's how quickly it can happen.
It can.
So let's not assume that what we're looking at, it's not a picture that's painted and then forever stays on the wall. This thing is moving. It's a fluid situation.
Yeah. Now I forgot what I was going to say.
Sorry about that.
That's what happens. That's why I got to get it out, you know, at that exact moment.
You got your pen.
I should have wrote it down. But what you were saying was really good. So I wanted to actually listen this time to what you were saying, because that was good. So, but of course, now I forgot what I was going to say. So, there you go.
But look.
There you go.
Everything that we were just saying about jumpstarting this thing, resetting it, that the season's not lost, it's got to
remember.
It's got to start tonight.
Okay. I remember now.
You have the floor.
Yep, thank you. I got to cut you off because I'll forget it again.
Get it.
And look, I don't care about making the playoffs. I don't think this is a playoff team. I really don't, okay? And to me right now, that doesn't matter. I want to see them start playing better football. I want to see something that gives me hope for the future, okay? And I want to see that streak stay intact. The more Super Bowl appearances than losing season. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
So your focus has changed for the season.
Yes, it has. It's changed for the season. I don't think they can get to the playoffs. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I've watched this football team, and I don't think they can change that much to all of a sudden be a playoff team. But they can get to 8-8, 9-7. They can still do that. It's very, very manageable. I mean, you know, who are the San Francisco 49ers this year? Arizona just went in their place and just whipped them.
Yeah.
So, you know, San Francisco 49ers are an up-and-down football team. You look at the Browns. You know, they're a good football team. You look at the Raiders. They stink. So, I mean, you got three out of your last four games that you can win like that.
Got to put yourself in a position to make it relevant.
You do.
And tonight... you just got to figure it out. Figure out a way to win the football game. And Joe on the RamosLaw.com text line, Denver's playoff chances are less than 2%. Well, Joe, you know what? You lose tonight, you can cut that 2% in half. But you win tonight, then you reevaluate the conversation. Again, these teams don't stay the same. Through 5 weeks last year, Kansas City Chiefs looked like they could have beat the 72 Dolphins, but then they couldn't figure out a way to win games down the stretch. It's not over. Tonight's a huge game for a bunch of different reasons. And, you know, I think the Broncos can get – we talked about the track, right? We talked about the train tracks. And it's just a slight shift, right? But you alter that course and you could change your entire direction. That's what we're looking for. And I'm not above beating the Cardinals. I'm not above if they let Colorado State in the NFL, I wouldn't be above beating the Colorado State a team with the just get back on track, find a way to win a game.
You don't care who
it is.
You don't care who you're playing, who you beat. It doesn't matter. You're just trying to get a win. And at the end of the year, they don't look at who you beat and say, well, we got to dock you a half a point here, right? It doesn't matter. Win a football game, you know. Wouldn't we like to say we beat the New York Jets a couple weeks ago? I mean, they're not a good football team. It doesn't matter if it's a good football team, if it's a bad football team. You just got to find a way to get a W.
I'm seeing on the RamosLaw.com text line, it's better to lose the rest of the games than win eight games. And there is a conflict, you know, within some folks of Broncos country that they do feel conflicted because they don't like you, they don't see a playoff team this year. And the expectations are such that, look, if we're not going to compete for a Super Bowl and we're not even a playoff team, then the last thing I want to do is finish 8-8 and pick 19th overall.
Right.
You know, and
a lot of people want Vance gone.
They do.
They want Vance gone.
And
if you go 9-7, you know, is he gone or is he staying around? I think he's probably staying.
That means
you've went on a nice run at the end of the year. And you look at your last 10 games.
Is that 9-7 and missing the playoffs?
Yeah. You know, would he stay? Would Vance still be around? I think he stays. I think they stick with him. I do.
Ooh,
I don't. I think if you go 9-7 from 5-11, and you finish the season off, you have 10 games left. You win. You go 7-3.
Yeah.
Is that where we're at?
Yeah. If you wanted to win 10 games,
yeah,
you go 7-3. You go 7-3. Look, it's. To a lot of folks right now, they're rolling their eyes, even at that suggestion. But the bottom line is, who you are right now, this is for the football team and in life, who you are right now, that's not who you have to be moving forward. So we'll see. I want to be receptive. I want to let my eyes tell the story, and we'll see if these guys can figure it out. My guess is, Stoke, that they do. My guess is that they do, and I'm hoping Von Miller's comments from 2 days ago spark this football team the way that Nolan Arenado's comments did after that a win against the San Francisco Giants, and then they go on a run for the rest of the season.
That would be something.
Why not?
You know, that would be something if they went on a mini run here and you know, we could point to those comments that we were listening to live and kind of shocked us when he said it. So
didn't the Rockies look done?
I threw them away. I was done. I jumped off the bus. I let the buses go. They can drive it themselves.
You left it on the side of the road.
Did you see how they were playing ball?
I did.
You couldn't hit. Your bullpen was awful, and your starting pitching was really, really inconsistent at that point in the season. And, you know, you're losing to bad baseball teams. I mean, it's like, well, they can't put two of those three things together. You can't win baseball games. But guess what? Like football, it's a long season, and they got it figured out. So I guarantee you this. I learned my lesson about, you know, when it comes to the Rockies and it comes to certain teams saying, you know, they're done too early, because it is. It's a long season, and sometimes you go through those slumps. I just didn't see them coming out of it. But the Broncos can come out of it.
They can.
The Broncos can come out of this. They're a 2-4 football team right now. A lot of football left to be played. They got talent. They do have the talent. We talked about it yesterday. The talent is there. Okay? Case Keenum is very capable of leading this team to a lot of victories. He's very capable of doing it. He's just got to start doing it. He's got to find a way to do it offensively. And this defense is very capable of playing at a high level for four quarters. Not three quarters like we saw against the Chiefs. Four quarters. And they're very capable of doing it against the pass and the run. They just got to go out there and do it. So, you know, if you want to look at the Rocky season, you can say, well, their bullpen got it figured out. Their starting pitching got it figured out. Their bats got going better. And obviously at the end, they forgot the bats. But the Broncos could be the same way. The Broncos could be the same. I've been part of teams that couldn't stop the run. Indianapolis Colts. We went on to win the Super Bowl. You looked up the stats a few days ago when we played Jacksonville Jaguars, and Maurice Jones-Drew just ran all over us.
Yep.
And that was in December of that year. And we just could not stop the run. We got in the playoffs, and we just started playing at a different level. So things can change quickly.
Speaking of playing four quarters, the Nuggets last night, down in the fourth quarter, found a way to come back. You know what? I was impressed. That was a game last year.
Basketball started?
You knock it off right now.
Really?
Last night, you're on the road.
The NBA or college?
You're in Tinseltown. Clippers are supposed to be decent team. They'll be about a 500 team, maybe a little better, maybe a little bit worse. But those are games that they lost last year and that they won last night. And
I'm just joking, by the way.
I know that.
Dude, I saw this one dude just hang on the rim with his tippy toes on. Who is that guy?
That's Boban.
Boban.
I'm telling you right now.
Holy cow,
if you haven't seen the picture, it's right at the top of my Twitter timeline. He can actually dunk a ball with his feet on the ground. I've never seen it in my life. Manu Bol and Yao were big enough to do things like that, but they didn't have the...
Why have I never heard about this guy?
He's playing more than ever. He was with the Spurs for a while. Anyway.
All right.
But a big shout out to Paul Millsap. He's going to change that basketball team. I'm telling you right now.
He's going to be able to stay healthy.
Paul, he's got to for them to have the success of a 50-win season hosting a first-round playoff series. He was plus 20 when he was on the court last night.
That's a guy that they were hoping to see, you know, all of last year.
Yep.
It really wasn't the case. So... He paid him a lot of money.
He struggled, Stoke. They paid him a lot of money. He struggled from the floor. He dominated defensively.
I like it.
So we're going to get you out to a game. I'm going to be there Saturday and Sunday.
I'm going to go to some games. I knew the season started. Good for the Nuggets. Way to get the season started on a right note.
If you see me out there Saturday and Sunday, say hello. I'll be with my father-in-law on Saturday, my buddy on Sunday. Cannot wait for this weekend. All right, Stoke. Are we watching everything in tonight's game through the prism of Vance Joseph? I want to explain exactly what we mean next.
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a 2-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 in a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank. Business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/businesscontest for more details.